Welcome back to The Frame. I'm John Horn. A 2005 episode of This American Life told the story of Pentecostal Bishop Carlton Pearson. He was a protege of Oral Roberts and the leader of a megachurch in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where 6,000 people would worship on Sundays.
Well, the first time I ever cast a devil out of somebody, I was like 17 years old, 16 maybe. And the girl was my girlfriend.
This was a tiny storefront where the church was having a youth revival.
She just let out this scream, and it startled me and everybody else. She fell to the ground. I looked at the pastor, and he just stood there. And nobody else moved. So I started rebuking the devil.
But in 1994, Pearson had an epiphany that there was no hell and that people did not have to accept Jesus Christ and be saved to get into heaven. It was a direct repudiation of a fundamental teaching of the Pentecostal Church, and it turned Pearson's life and his congregation upside down. The new Netflix movie Come Sunday is a fictionalized account of his life, starring Chiwetel Ejiofor as Pearson and Martin Sheen as Oral Roberts. The film was written by Marcus Hinchy and directed by Joshua Marston. I visited with them at the Sundance Film Festival after the film premiered there, and we began with what Marston knew about Pentecostalism going into the movie's production.
I was raised Jewish in Los Angeles, very Reformed Jewish, and Judaism does not believe in hell and does not believe in the afterlife, depending on who you talk to. And so I think I was looking at this story from a more of an outsider perspective, saying, why do these folks so cling to the idea of hell? Why is it so important to them? That was one of the really animating questions for me intellectually. And what happens when you take hell away? But it meant that I knew very little about Pentecostalism. And as we got into it, I did a lot of reading, a lot of conversations with Carlton. And Carlton, I think, probably for both Marcus and for myself, was probably our first point of contact and our best teacher about what Pentecostals believe, how things work. And then at a certain point, I just started going to church. And for, I'd say, 3 or 4 months out before filming, wherever I was, whatever city I found myself in, I would send Carlton a text message and say, can you recommend a Pentecostal church in D.C. or Atlanta? And so I would go to church. And I think the one aspect of a Pentecostal service that most impressed me, weirdly, because I wasn't able to see like laying of hands necessarily or healing people, which Pentecostals also do. But every Pentecostal service at a certain point, and it's usually the same point, has the members of the congregation turn and greet one another. It goes on for 5 or 10 minutes, and everyone walks around the room. And frequently, I was the only white person in the room. And it was really impressive to have 40 or 50 or 60 African-American Pentecostals walking up to me. Clearly, I didn't belong. Clearly, I was not a member of the church. No question about who I was. Embracing, literally, physically hugging me and saying that they were so happy to have me there. I mean, that's just one anecdote of discovering Pentecostalism. It was just really a fascinating journey.
So Carlton has an epiphany, and yeah, maybe it's a long time coming, but was there a triggering event?
So one night after he's back from one of his tours, he is putting his child to sleep and rocking her to sleep. And every night, Carlton used to watch the news, the 6 o'clock news. And on this particular news broadcast, there was a TV special on the Hutus returning from Uganda to Rwanda. And the images of essentially Muslims and Catholics who were dying of malnutrition, dying of cholera in overcrowded camps, really touched something inside of him and led to a conversation with God. And very simply, that conversation was, how can you call yourself a loving and sovereign God and let these people suffer like this and then suck them all into hell? That was his crisis. And then the movie kind of goes from there.
All my life, I've been taught it. Everything I know points to a choice, heaven or hell. Many people I loved, members of my own family, went to hell, and they're there for good. Now, I could never reconcile that, but I do accept it because they had a choice. But when did these people in Africa separate from God? When did they make a choice? And how do they get saved? And he said they don't need to get saved. They're already saved.
So Joshua, Bishop Carleton has an epiphany. And his epiphany, to kind of shorten it into layman's terms, is that he no longer believes that God chooses who is saved and who isn't, that God sees the entire world as saved, and that individuals do not have to accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior, which is the tradition of his church, to get into heaven. That is his epiphany. When you are trying to tell the story of that part of his life, it seems cinematically challenging to tell the story of how somebody has a spiritual transformation. You can depict the outcome of that. You see people getting up and walking out of church. You see church equipment being auctioned off. There are physical manifestations of the impact of that. But how do you cinematically come up with a language to depict what he's going through in his crisis of faith or through his spiritual epiphany?
You know, there are various resources that you can deploy, whether it's the music or the cinematography or the camera placement or, you know, the performance. You know, it could be visual effects, it could be animation. I knew that I didn't want, in that scene where he's having an epiphany, to, for example, suddenly turn the camera upward and like show the ceiling opening up and clouds parting and the hand of God coming down and touching his forehead. You know, like, there, you could do that. That would be a cinematic choice. I maybe because I am fairly secular, basically simply filmed him tussling, sort of, you know, muttering and writhing and a little bit of crying, and then we see we hopefully get a sense that something has happened, right? And I use the music as well. In the edit room, I have to tell you that I came to question that a lot. That's a very specific filmmaking choice. You know, I'm someone who made Merciful Grace and The Forgiveness of Blood, which are very realist films where the camera doesn't impose itself, and where we're simply observing. And it was an odd conversation to have with Chiwetel. What does it look like to have a conversation with God? And the first few takes, I was like, well, no, it's not that. And, you know, we finally found it. And then in the edit room, it was yet another level of how do I then use music and the editing and all in service of understanding what's going inside his head.
We're talking with Joshua Marston and Marcus Hinchey. Joshua is the director and Marcus is the writer of Come Sunday.
The God that we worship, from the parts of this Bible that we focus on, that God is a monster. Oh, that, if we're really saying that God sends billions of people to burn in hell for eternity for missing the mark or missing the point or being born someplace else, well, that God is a monster. That God is worse than Hitler. That God is worse than Saddam Hussein. But that's not our God. That's not the God that we worship. No, that God loves us all.
It's important to point out that Carlton's great mentor and his great father figure is Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts had transformed the church from, in the 1950s, being the traveling tent revivals to bringing it to television. But one of the largest things that he brought to the expression was racial inclusion. And so that clearly connects to his relationship with Carlton, who he saw as his spiritual son. But I think there was a time at the very beginning of all of this that Carlton believed that he was only taking inclusion one step, the natural step further, which was from racial inclusion to complete inclusion, and believed that the way Oral had been successful in carrying forward and expanding the church, that this was the natural next progression. And yes, it was ambitious, but ultimately I think at the beginning there was some belief that although it would be hard, he would be followed.
So much of your film is focused on, I think, his underestimating the impact that that is going to have on his congregation. Not that he wants to change his mind, because he believed that he has come to this decision through a spiritual way and that he has seen a light that he hasn't seen before. Does Carlton still feel that he underestimated the impact that this would have on his congregation, even though he still knows that he made the right choice?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the things that we talked about quite a lot, was that he really felt that he was mistaken in being so cavalier, and not cavalier is maybe the wrong word, but naive to think that people would just come along for the ride with him. And I think that's a testament to how genuinely he felt this change, that it was so crystal clear to him and so genuine that of course people would see it. And I realized that Unitarianism believes exactly what Carleton is preaching and has preached it for over 100 years. And so I suddenly had this realization that, wait a minute, all Carleton is effectively doing is changing denominations. But what he's doing is expecting his entire congregation to also change denomination. And that is ultimately very foolish.
Josh, great to see you.
Wonderful to be here.
Marcus, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
Joshua Marston is the director and Marcus Hinchey is the writer of Come Sunday. It's currently available on Netflix.